Welcome to UN Gender Focus. I'm Daniel Dickinson at the United Nations in New York. Coming up in this week's program, women suffer greater impacts than men from drug dependency, and a UN population award recognizes the importance of women's health. But first, activists are hailing as a milestone the appointment of a UN independent expert on the human rights of lesbian, gay, bisexual and transgender, or LGBT, people. The UN Human Rights Council in Geneva has passed a resolution that will establish the mandate. It represents an important step towards stamping out homophobia and transphobia. That's according to people fighting hatred and discrimination against the LGBT community. Deanne Penn reports.
After 3 hours of tense debate, the 47 countries in the Human Rights Council adopted the resolution, paving the way for an independent expert on protection against violence and discrimination based on sexual orientation and gender identity. They will join a roster of other external experts mandated by the Council to report and advise on areas of concern. Charles Radcliffe is Chief of Global Issues and Intergovernmental Affairs with the UN Human Rights Office.
This is a huge development. It means that for the very first time here at the United Nations, the UN Human Rights Council has appointed an investigator who is going to go out around the world and come back and report on the human rights situation of lesbian, gay, bi, trans people right around the world. That person will be able to take up individual allegations, take those up with governments. They'll be able to make country visits. They'll be able to put together really groundbreaking studies that expose this problem and put forward very concrete practical recommendations to governments and work with governments to put reforms in place.
The resolution was tabled by 6 Latin American countries: Argentina, Brazil, Chile, Colombia, Mexico, and Uruguay. It was supported by activists around the globe. Jessica Stern is Executive Director of Outright Action International, which rallied more than 600 groups in 150 countries to call for the resolution. Her organization includes intersex people and those who identify as queer under the LGBT umbrella.
Frankly, it's very important to note the geographic diversity. Some of those states that are opposed to LGBTI people and actually encourage incitement to violence against LGBTI people try to say, you know, homosexuality is a Western phenomena or a product of colonial imposition. And of course, we know that's not factually accurate. We know that's just a political strategy being used to scapegoat local communities. And what this statement really makes very clear is that actually the majority of the support for this mandate is coming from communities in the global South that are saying, this is our priority for ourselves. We need more resources, we need more support so that we can tackle the root causes of homophobia and transphobia.
The past 5 years has seen much movement on LGBT issues, according to Mr. Radcliffe from the UN Human Rights Office. This includes appeals by the current UN Secretary General, Ban Ki-moon, to decriminalize same-sex relationships, as well as efforts to support governments with overhauling laws.
Beyond all of the resolutions and the reports and the discussions that happen here at the UN, there's also been an important development, which is the launch of a big public education campaign. And that's because the UN knows you don't change the world just by changing laws. You have to change people's hearts and minds too. And so we have a campaign, the UN Free and Equal Campaign, launched in 2013, championed by Ban Ki-moon, led by the UN Human Rights Office, supported by celebrities around the world and done with the support of activists and communities on the ground right around the world. And it's very rapidly become one of the most popular ever UN human rights campaigns.
Mr. Radcliffe urges people who want to stand against discrimination to visit the campaign's website, which is unfe.org. Deanne Penn, United Nations.
Women can suffer greater impacts from drug dependency than men, according to the UN's annual report on global drug trends. The World Drug Report 2016 reveals that 2 million more people are hooked on drugs than the previous year, bringing the overall total to 29 million. Around 207,000 of those people die annually, a figure that's remained stable over the past few years. I've been speaking to Jean-Luc Lemahieu, a policy director at the UN Office on Drugs and Crime, which published the report. I began by asking Mr. Lemahieu about the differences in drug use patterns between men and women.
First of all, the numbers. I mean, you have more men affected on problematic drug use than women as such. You would as well, the type of drugs. I mean, the women might be often more addicted on prescribed medication than really on the illicit drugs.
What accounts for those differences?
First of all, the fact that male behavior is overall tend to be more risky, especially among the young. And the young, of course, are the category which figures most highly within the drug use patterns overall. But if you see the socioeconomic vulnerability, no, there's no gender difference on poverty. So if you find yourself in a very vulnerable situation socioeconomically, but as well psychologically, I mean, the tendency to abuse, for example, your prescribed medication is never far away. And that's a very great vulnerability more for women than for men who seem to be more outgoing and buy the illicit drugs on the streets than women would do.
To what extent is the impact of drug use greater on women?
First of all, the availability of help is not as explicit available for women. Secondly, the stigma for the women is much, much bigger than it is for men. Thirdly, and something which we might not forget, is that regretfully, I mean, women often are the sole providers or the responsible pillars within a household. I mean, that's not everywhere the case, evidently, but in majority, I mean, the responsibility for the family of the female will be more outspoken than it is for the male. So it affects the kids, it affects the wider community, it affects the families in a very profound manner. And the lack of services, I mean, to help, that is something which we need to correct.
And of course, within the domestic environment, if a woman is living with a man who suffers from drug abuse, that also has a huge impact.
Very often, I mean, the women get enticed, I mean, to fall in the same habits, I mean, not necessarily by her sole will, but by the social pressure of the husband who has that habit with him. So the vulnerability for the genders lacking as well the services to react to it is something which is insufficiently dealt with at this moment.
Jean-Luc Lemahieu. A leading Brazilian social scientist and a Polish childbirth organization have been named as the recipients of this year's UN Population Award. The award recognizes outstanding contributions to population and reproductive health issues. The Childbirth with Dignity Foundation has worked for decades to improve reproductive health and women's rights in Poland, and the eminent population expert Carmen Barroso of Brazil was honoured as an individual laureate. Ms. Barroso spoke to Laura Gelbert.
This award is very, very important because, first of all, it has a very distinguished roster of previous awardees, and I'm very honored by now joining the people that I always admired and so on. And it is also important because it's recognition by the UN. It's a very important recognition of how women's health, children's health, and adolescents' health are important for the Sustainable Development Goals. It's a recognition that we have to work within the framework of human rights, which is what inspired me all my life. And it is a recognition of all those who have been for decades promoting women's right to control their bodies and their lives.
Could you tell our listeners a little bit about your work on the Independent Accountability Panel on the Global Strategy on Women, Children and Adolescents' Health?
This is a panel that was created by Ban Ki-moon, the Secretary General, in February. And as soon as he appointed this group of nine experts from all over the world, we started working very hard to produce a report where we are going to assess what is the current status of women's health, children's health, and adolescents' health. And we are making recommendations on how to accelerate the progress so that the inequities and inequalities that prevail in this area be overcome. And we have a world where everybody everywhere has access to good quality services so that they can implement their wishes and have a healthy life.
You've been listening to UN Gender Focus from the United Nations in New York. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Daniel Dickinson.